The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts at 41 Cross Street, just above the beautiful and wonderful Alto Forno restaurant. If you haven't been over to Alto Forno, check it out. It's part of the Mamola's trilogy of three great restaurants, Daniela's in Danvers, Palana in Peabody, and of course, right on the hill, Alto Forno, where I'm located on the second floor. So be sure to swing by right there when you have a chance. I have a great show lined up today. It's something that I've been wanting to do actually since last year when we learned about this idea of these events that were going on all throughout the state of Massachusetts on trying to teach children in our state financial life skills. I'm joined today by David Fullerene, who's former senior vice president of Mass Bankers Association and a fabulous financial literacy advocate. I'm also joined by Marianne Clancy, who's actually been on this show before. We talked about Credit for Life on this show once before, and she is the vice president for communications at the Institution for Savings in Ipswich. So both of you, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, we got lots of things to talk about. You know, people have heard me talk on this radio about how challenged I am with the inability to get the idea of financial life skills into the brains or the curriculum, I should say, of students all throughout the public schools in Massachusetts. It's a battle we've fought for decades. David, I know you have a bit of a history on what the challenges have been with why, you know, we just can't seem to get it. We, as parents are saying, my kids need to know financial life skills. When kids get out on the streets after work, I mean, after they graduate from school, they say, well, that's nice. I know how to add up numbers and I can do all the STEM stuff that's necessary. But do I know what to do when I get into a car accident? Or do I know what to do when I need money from my account? Or what's a credit card? What's a debit card? No one teaches them that stuff. David, what's going wrong here?
Well, part of it, I think, is we've seen so many more challenges and demands on schools and what they need to teach. And we have still the same school schedule and school day we had 50 years ago. And secondly, I think there's another challenge that a lot of adults and parents in particular may be a little challenged or a little uncomfortable themselves in what they know with all the different things going on today. All the, as you just mentioned, whether it's credit scores or different choices, do I buy or lease a car? All those things, and they may be less comfortable in talking with their kids about money.
Marianne, any thoughts about what? Tell us what you've been doing with this whole Credit for Life program and how you've tried to bring it to life.
Well, we have been doing financial literacy programs for schools probably for the last 8 or 9 years. We started small with the third graders. We just, you know, we're bankers, so we like our customers to be informed. We like them to come to us knowing a little bit about money. And we were finding that wasn't the case. So we started a little bit at the third grade level, and then we said, let's go to the high schools and let's do something to help them be prepared for when they leave high school. So we started the Credit for Life Fair. This year will be our 8th year. And, you know, what we do with that, as you know, Mark, is that we ask the juniors to put themselves, you know, 5 or 7 years into the future, act like 25-year-old adults, and buy everything that they need to do to live. It's been such an eye-opening experience watching these students do that. And, you know, every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're really finding that not just the students are dying to have this knowledge, but the parents are dying for their children to learn this information.
And how many people are coming to these events right now?
Well, this year we're up to 12 schools on the North Shore, so we'll have about 1,200 students this year, and you know, about 175 adults from the community are volunteering.
And David, you've been running this Credit for Life program as well over in Andover, and you said now Methuen may be doing it as well. What have you been finding has been some of the aha moments that come out of this?
Well, first of all, we've had tremendous acceptance from the teachers and the leadership at Andover High School. I know some teachers came up to us last year when we were planning it, and they said, oh, thank goodness, finally somebody is coming to help us do this. One little story, last year we had our first fair. We have about 400 seniors at Andover High, and we're doing it again on May 4. But that afternoon, I was in one of the stores downtown just getting a couple of things, and overheard three seniors chatting. Said, did you go to that fair today? What'd you think of it? And they said, wow, I said, that was pretty scary. I said, I guess I'm going to be living in my parents' basement for a long time. And I got home and I told my wife that, who's also a volunteer, and she said, that's what we want. Reality check, get them to start thinking. And that's really what these fairs and other things do. We want our youth to start to think about their future and the financial choices and decisions they need to make.
Yeah, it's really important. I mean, as you well know, I also, as I've talked about on this radio show, I have the opportunity once a semester to teach at the personal finance class at North Andover High School. And I try to do this, it's kind of a real-life checkup for them. We talk about what does it mean to move out of the house. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, when I was in high school at Peabody High, if someone asked me at 18 years old as a senior, how many of you plan to move out of your house when you're done with college or wherever your next step might be, every hand in the room would go up. Now you ask kids that question. When you graduate college, how many of you plan to be out on your own? You'll find just a smattering of hands. Most people are saying, I'm going home to live at home because I can't afford this anymore. It's a huge wake-up call. And the two of you, I'm joined here, by the way, by David Florine, a retired vice president of the Mass Bankers Association and a financial literacy advocate here in Massachusetts, as well as Marianne Clancy, vice president of communications for the Institution for Savings in Ipswich. And they are working with our legislators right now in Massachusetts. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is that we're trying to push through finally? Because it's been brought to their table many times to mandate financial education. What are we bringing to them this time that's going to be different?
Well, this year, in fact, we've had bills before, but this year seems to be some real traction. The legislation has already passed the House. It's Senate Bill 2374, passed unanimously by the Senate 2 weeks ago, and now it's before the House. And really what it does is it directs the Mass Department of Elementary and Secondary Education to establish standards that local school districts could adopt to infuse or to incorporate into existing curriculum basic financial literacy standards across the K-12 curriculum. No new courses, no additional teachers or everything else, but to take very basic, simple mathematical, computational things like compounding interest or making decisions about needs and wants, and later on in social studies, perhaps talking about some of the, you know, this historical developments when we had recessions and economic booms, and why do people make decisions, some behavioral economical concepts. In health, we're finding that a number of school systems, including in our own town, will use some basic decision or issues regarding financial literacy in terms of how does that impact people's health, because we know that stress is a huge issue for health, and one of the greatest stress inducers are financial challenges. So there's many places in the curricula where these kind of basic principles can be infused into what they're already teaching.
So I know you're optimistic about with seeing the Senate pass this thing unanimously. Is there any concerns you have with Congress?
Well, it's actually in the State House of Representatives.
The state, I'm sorry, state. I'm using the wrong terms. This is a state issue.
Well, a lot of people do that. You know, I think the biggest issues are always inertia. You know, there's always a fear that some new legislation is going to require a lot of extra spending, more teachers, more classroom space. And we understand that. And we've been working closely with a number of legislative leaders and school officials, both at the local and the state level, and getting them to sort of understand and buy in that what we're here is to tap into resources that are already available. There's a number of great curricular providers out there across the country. By the way, this is not unique to Massachusetts. There are already 20 states or more that already have far more advanced requirements than we do. I mean, one thing we need to be proud of, we have a great education system here in Massachusetts. Our kids score very high, if not the highest, on a lot of tests. But interestingly, there are 20 states that offer, that mandate some kind of either a special course or financial literacy. In some of the national rankings, the Council on Economic Education, one of the really good colleges, Champlain College up in Vermont, does a biannual review of states. And Massachusetts just recently scored an F.
Mm-hmm. Which we've talked about here on this radio show.
Yeah.
And why do they, Marianne, why do they get an F?
Well, I think they get an F because they don't mandate it. And I think we get back to the point, you know, for instance, we, as much as we do at the bank to do financial literacy courses, there's no follow-up. There's no follow-through because it's not required. You know, I sat on the school committee for 10 years and Newburyport. And, you know, teachers are asked to do so much. I have a sister that's a teacher. I have a sister-in-law that's a teacher. I know that that's the case. But I also think that they're if they're asked to do something, if it's required, they're going to do a really good job at it. It's not required right now.
Well, I also think something that's interesting with teachers is the fact that most teachers are working for a government office. So the way they get paid, when we start talking about basic financial literacy, go into a classroom, and I've done this through the Junior Achievement Program when I've gone into the elementary school, ask the kids how their teacher gets paid. And they don't understand how that basic system works. They don't understand that our tax dollars are what pay the teachers, and that's different from the person that's working the counter at Dunkin' Donuts. And they don't understand that what a pension is. The teachers are working for a pension. They're not having to be forced to accumulate wealth for themselves because the days of pensions, for the most part, are gone. And so a lot of the mindset where we've got people in our legislature who, in many cases, don't have term limits. They've been there 30, 40, 50 years or so. We've got teachers who have been doing this 30 or 40 years. They don't realize that the personal finance, the financial life skills that are necessary today are different from what was the standard of what was normal for a lot more people back then. We need to adapt. We need to change. We're seeing that. Children are demanding it. Parents are demanding it. Look, I have many teachers that come to my office. They go, I had no idea what it meant to handle my own personal finances. I just figured the school system would take care of it for me. Right. And that's not the case anymore.
It's definitely not.
One of the things that we've learned in the statewide groups that I continue to be very actively involved in is that, as you just were mentioning, teachers are very interested in gaining more confidence and more sophistication in their own personal skills. And we found in talking with our colleagues in other states that when they run annual workshops, particularly in the summer for teachers and educators, among one of the most popular sessions are an hour or two sessions on personal financial trends and tips for them.
That's right.
And the more confidence that our teachers and others and after-school providers are another great place for kids to learn, but the more confidence that our educators have in their own decision-making, the more confident and the more likely they are to be teaching basic skill sets to our kids.
There's so much to do, and we have a great future ahead of us. I mean, because of what the two of you are doing as advocates here for our own children, for teachers, for the community, to bring financial literacy back into the schools, to mandate it, is extraordinarily important. We've got a lot more to talk about. We've got to take a quick break. But when we get back, I want to learn more about this legislation that's being placed on the desks of people right here on Beacon Hill so that we can see if we can get this passed. I want to be sure that we get the information out on how people can rally around this to help you out, how we can get more involved in some of the programs that you're doing locally, and more financial advice in a language you can understand when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had a million dollars.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. And man, am I excited to make some big announcements today, actually. Did you know that on Tuesday, Friedman Financial will celebrate its 50th, that's right, 50th, 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 like that, 50th anniversary of providing financial planning and investment advice to individuals and families on the North Shore of the Merrimack Valley and the surrounding community. And I promise you, I've not been doing it for 50 years. I was two when Dad started the firm back in 1968. But the legacy continues. We've moved into our new location. I've met so many of you who have listened to the radio. Generations and generations of families, because we're doing financial planning and investment advice to real people, not to the super wealthy, not to the indigent either. But we are doing it for those, what I call the mass affluent, those people that are working hard. They're in the community. They're doing the best they can, but they can't seem to figure out how do they manage the resources that they have so that they can support it for their future. And that's what, you know, so many people in this community, the banking community, recognizes that there are so many, 22 million people right now in America fall into that category. And the bankers are here to support it. There's a lot of people in the financial community here to support it. But more than anything else, in order for us to be successful about preparing for our own financial future, because it is far different from grandma and grandpa's financial future, we're going to live longer. The resources and tools we have available to us are far more vast. The resources we have technology-wise are certainly there and weren't there before. But we need to mandate the fact that every student going through every school here in Massachusetts gets an education about financial life skills. I'm joined here today by David Florine, a retired vice president for the Mass Bankers Association and a financial literacy advocate. I'm also joined by Marianne Clancy, vice president communication for the Institution for Savings in Ipswich. And we are here to talk about some legislation that is happening right now. This could be the year where it all happens, where it gets mandated, where it gets put in front of our kids so that they get that financial life skills. And I will tell you this, this is not going to be a burden on teachers. It's not going to be a burden on the school. It's going to be a weight that's lifted off their shoulders, because the way that it happens is through collaboration. Through collaboration of businesses in the community, resources in the community, as parents' desire for their kids to get smarter, a kid's desire to get smarter, a teacher's desire to make sure that the stuff that they're teaching them is relevant that they can use today. So with all of that enthusiasm and all of that hype, I want to turn it over. David, tell us a little bit about what this legislation really is and how people can rally behind it.
Thanks, Mark, very much. It's a pretty straightforward and a pretty simple bill. It's less than 3 pages long, and all it says is that it directs the Mass Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, which is the agency that oversees all of the local school systems, to develop standards. It's not a mandate. Develop standards and options for local school districts to implement curricula throughout the K through 12 system. So, you know, starting in kindergarten all the way through high school, what would be appropriate options and opportunities for local school districts, whether they're across the state or up here in North Shore or down the Cape, wherever, whatever best fits their system, their resources, to offer financial literacy at various levels and stages throughout the 13-level grade system.
How about you, Marianne? How are you involved in this? I mean, you've been certainly active both through a program called Credit for Life mm-hmm. that you've developed here locally or worked with others to develop locally. But how is this now all tying into this all this legislature?
Well, I think it's important because it's not mandated. And, you know, as any of us who have children in the school system in Massachusetts, we know that, you know, the standards are what drives the curriculum in all of our schools. That's what the students are tested on. That's what the teachers prepare them for. You know, everything else is an elective and can come and go, you know, can be there or not be there. So when you have a bill that actually makes this mandated in the schools, then the students will, I mean, then the teachers will start to take it more seriously and will be able to develop curriculum that actually maps with that and teaches kids how to do it. One of the, you know, we've had a Credit for Life fair for the 11th graders. We do a Get Smart About Credit, which is about credit cards for seniors. We do a third grade program. And what we always find and what the teachers tell us is that it's so fabulous when we come in, but there's no follow-up afterwards. It's like a one and done. And with a mandate from the state, this can be a program that is taught to our students, not just in three grades out of 12, but every single year, a little bit here and there, and we'll follow them along as they go through their education. So I think it's really, really important.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. When I go into the schools, and I've taught a few financial literacy classes or financial life skills classes in North Andover High School, I thought it was interesting. When I went to Peabody High School, and I graduated there, I went to Peabody High School when I first started in the business, and I said, you know, hey, I'd love to come in as a guest lecturer, guest speaker, and really try to give your kids some financial life skills. And do you know what happened? I got kicked out. I actually got kicked out for three reasons. Number one, when I was approached, and remember, this is a high school I went to. This is a high school that I went to. They thought that, number one, I was going to be in there trying to solicit their children to with handouts that they bring home from mom and dad so that I can get them to buy college funding strategies. No, that was not the case. Number two is they thought, well, whatever I'd be teaching, the teacher couldn't follow up on it because they don't feel like they have the life skills to continue the conversation and answer the questions of kids. And third was the socioeconomic challenges. They said, you know, some kids, you know, are trust fund babies and others are on the free lunch program and everything in between. And so how do you give, from what they said, how can you give financial advice to that wide range? And I said, look, everybody's going to drive a car. Everybody's going to get paid. You're going to have taxes taken out of your paycheck. I'm not talking about how to make money in the stock market. That's really not what this is about. This is basic life skills. And so one of the questions that I ask when I go to the kids in these classes now, I say, how many of you have a debit card? And they'll all raise their hand. They've all got a debit card. I said, how many of you have used that debit card in an ATM machine? And they all raise their hand. They've used that. I said, what does it cost to take money out of the ATM? And you'll get answers like $2, $3, $5. And I'm flabbergasted by that. The answer is it's free. It's free. But they don't realize that if they go to their own bank or banks that partner with others, they can actually get money out of an ATM for free. And get this. What's the average they're taking out of an ATM card? $20, $40. And they're paying $4 and $3 on that. That is ridiculous. So, David, how do we fix this?
Well, first of all, I'm finding that a lot of the young people today don't even use debit cards. They'll use some of the newer smart cards.
Venmos
or everything else and for any kind of transaction.
Nothing wrong with that, by the way. It's a great way to transact financial business.
Absolutely. But that said, you know, one of the real challenges out there facing, you know, particularly young people, but adults as well, is just keeping track of what they spend and why do they spend. And one of the things that we've been advocating for a long time, and what's so important about these kind of standards and having something in the curriculum, is getting kids to start to think about what's important to them and where do they want to spend whatever money they have. In fact, that's true for a lot of us as adults. but it's the needs and wants. And if you include some of this in, for example, in social studies, when you're talking about some of the ebbs and flows of our nation or the world, and you know, why have we had some booms and why have we had some busts, and most recent the great recession of about 10 years ago, and what were some of the causes? And a lot of that was, you know, well, we don't have enough time to go into all of that here, but if you even talk about some of the very basics of that, the kids are smarter than sometimes we give them credit for, and they will see, oh, well, maybe I don't need to spend my money on that. Maybe if you can show them that they take, you know, $5 a week when they're 20 and save it, or invest it versus wait till they're 40 and they'll see how much of a better life that they could have, they'll make better decisions.
I think we can even do better than that. What I think is it basically comes down to math, basic math. One of the things my kids hate, and I have five kids that have gone through the north end of our high school, they come home and they go, what the heck are with these word problems? They make no sense to me. How are they relevant today? Well, you know what? You could come up with millions of personal finance-related math questions that would solve, that would align with the curricula or the mandate that you're trying to get passed through here and meet the standards of what kids need to get started. I know some of the stuff that you do, Marianne, falls all within that scope.
It really does. And, you know, it to us, it's basic. You know, I say to the kids, and I went in and did it this morning on an orientation, the goal of the day is to balance your budget. This is how much you have to spend. These are your expenses. And it sounds like such a basic lesson for us as adults because we do know it, most of us. But what these kids don't know is how to balance a budget, how much they can spend. The other thing they don't know, which is really interesting, and this is a life skill, is what a credit score is. So we always talk to them before they get to the credit for life fair about what a credit score is. And we randomly assign them credit scores. So you could be a doctor making $170,000 and your credit score could be 600. And you go to the loan, you know, you go to the housing booth and you can't get a house, you know, because, or you can get one, but you're going to pay more interest. So we're trying to infuse some of those basic life skills into them as well.
It's funny, as I listen to the kids, my daughter's going off to finishing up college, and you talk to the kids about income, and they talk about how much they hope to make. And this is, coming from this school, I should be able to make this amount or that amount or whatever. And I continue to tell people what you make does not matter. It's what you keep that matters. Go ahead, David.
But in to your point, at the fairs, all of these Credit for Life fairs, either the students are assigned a career or in many cases they get to, you know, work with their faculty and their guidance departments and they figure out what they might want to be doing when they're 25. And on the worksheets that I think almost all of us use, they also have federal withholding, state withholding, FICA, and Medicare.
They don't have to pay taxes on that stuff, do they?
Of course, but I mean,
But they're kids. They shouldn't have to.
But when they... I'll never forget one of the students...
It glaze over.
That's right.
FICA. What's FICA? I don't need FICA. And then when you tell them it's Social Security, and you know, we adults say, you know, of course you do. And then there's Medicare. I was just working with our faculty at the Andover High last week, and we were doing some worksheets. And you know, basically, if you're going to be 25 and you're starting out, and let's say you had a job that was going to be paying you $50,000 a year when you're 25.
Good for you.
Well, I mean, that's an aspiration. 25% of that is going to be going to state and federal and FICA taxes at a minimum.
That's right. But what kids remember, and I also talk, this is like the financial advice in a language you can understand stuff that I tell people. Just because you owe taxes when you file your tax return doesn't mean that you have a bad accountant.
No.
And that's, many adults believe that. Oh, if I got a refund back, oh, I must have a great accountant. Or if I owe taxes, I have a lousy accountant. That is not true. It's a check and balance system. Before we get out of here, we got 2 minutes. I want you to talk about this legislation, about how people can get involved if they'd like.
Very simply, the best thing to do is to call or write your local state representative. And I know Mark Friedman is going to have a nice little information sheet available on the website. It's your state representative. Urge them to support financial literacy for our kids and to support Senate Bill 2374.
Thank you very much, David. Marianne, any final thoughts? You want to talk anything about what's going on with your Credit for Life program that's coming up?
Well, we're really excited about it. We're adding schools every every year. So this year, as I mentioned, we have 12 schools on the North Shore coming. We have over 1,000 students coming. This year, we've added a pet adoption booth. But the kids just love it.
And where do you hold it?
We hold it at Masconaut Regional High School. This year, it's May 22nd. We moved it back a little bit because we wanted to get past the AP exams. So as many students could come as possible.
David, I know you've got your event also coming up.
Our event in Andover High is on May 4, and I'll also say the Methuen High School is doing their first this year, and that's a week from Friday. Actually, it's on April 13.
Yeah, are you guys both still looking for volunteers and helpers for the event?
Absolutely.
All right, you can always reach me if you want. I talk about my phone number all the time, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. If you'd like to help out, learn more about Credit for Life, I'll get you pointed to the right people. Let me tell you, I'll be there. I love doing it. I'm hoping my business partner, Marion, also joins us for that event. But we're up against the clock. Well, we're not up against the clock. I got to go on to my next segment and talk about a few other things. But I want to thank both David and Marianne for joining us today. It was a great event. Great to have you share some information about what's going on. And we're going to get this thing passed through. We're going to get kids with some great financial life skills because of what you're doing. So thank you very much for being a part of this today.
Thanks for having us, and happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, 50th anniversary. All right, we're out of here. No, we're not out of here yet. I'm kicking them out of here, and then I'm going to do the rest of the show. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I don't have one thing on my mind. One thing
on my mind. I do it for the song. What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial. Money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. And I'm so happy today that I can finally say that this Tuesday we will celebrate our 50th anniversary of providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the surrounding community. And no, I have not been doing this for 50 years. That's the truth. I was in diapers, I think, because I was two. Maybe I was out of diapers. I'll have to ask Mom and Dad about that. Mom passed away, unfortunately, 4 or 5 years ago. But I'll have to ask them if I was still in diapers at two. Actually, if I ask my father, I have a feeling he is going to have no idea. Because back then, I don't think my father lifted a finger to do diapers. All he did was provide financial advice in a language you can understand, and that's what we've been doing for 50 years. We're loving our new office, and if you haven't swung by yet, it's at 41 Cross Street, just above the fabulous Alto Forno Restaurant, which is just up on the hill, 41 Cross Street, across from the mall. A lot of things going on over at the North Shore Mall, too. A lot of changes. Bancroft, I think, opens later this month. There's a few other restaurants opening up. I understand there's a Cafe Nero going in over there. There's a Tony C's going in there. I understand there's also Casablanca, the Mexican restaurant, will be opening up later this summer. And a little fairy told me that there may be some other new changes coming once that wing is done. I heard that Tesla might open up a shop at the North Shore Mall, which I think is kind of interesting. We'll see. We'll see if there's a market for that. But... you know, Tesla doesn't do like an Ira Olds or a wherever, you know, a Mitsubishi place. They don't have a big lot. Tesla brings in 3 cars and they sell 300,000 or so. I don't know how the hell they do it, but they seem to figure out a way to do it. But you know, I'm excited about that. Anyways, like I said, 50th anniversary. Can't believe we've been doing this for 50 years. But before I talk much about that, I want to once again thank David Florine and Marianne Clancy for joining me earlier on the show to talk about this financial literacy and financial life skills issue. We're getting closer at the State House. It looks like more and more people are rallying behind the idea of mandating some type of an infused program into the public curriculum so that kids can get some basic financial life skills. you know, I wanted to be a little provocative with these guys on the radio earlier, but because I got some questions. There's a conversation that I had with a banker from a credit union, and I asked him about this very issue, and his concern was is that he didn't see that this would ever go through, that they would never put through a mandate for financial life skills. And the reason why is he said, well, the banking lobby is pretty strong. I said, well, I thought the bankers were all behind financial literacy. He says, they are, privately, but to mandate that to happen, that means that it may cost them money as a business. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, when interest rates were at 8, 10, 12, 15%, you know, people were getting nice rates on their CDs, but we were making money lending money. That's where the spreads were, the big dollars. If you want to get a mortgage today, can you get a mortgage at 9%? No, you would never take a mortgage at 9%. You're taking it at 3 and 4%, perhaps. When you go to car dealerships to get financing for a car, they're offering 0.9% financing or 2.9% financing. Who's making money on those spreads? The banks are not making money there. So where do banks make money? They make money on human stupidity. That's where they make money. They make money when your kids and you go to an ATM machine and agree to pay $2 or $4 or $5 when you're taking money out. They make money when you overdraft your checks, when you actually decide to continue to write checks and pay for checks when you could be paying for it online. They make money on all of these ancillary fees. In fact, the guy that I talked to said that 50% of the revenue at the bank is coming from fees. So if we educated America, if we educated our students, how would the banks prevail? So the banks, on one side, they want to deliver financial advice because they want kids to and adults to continue to borrow money from the banks when the time comes right. They want them to deposit money. They want them to think about the banking institution and how it all runs through. But they also do not want to lose money. And remember, most banks, most financial institutions work for who? Do they work for you? No, if they're a public company, they work for the shareholder. And the shareholder is interested in one thing, is the price of my shares going up. And the only way they go up is if you make a profit. They don't make a profit when they have to give stuff away and lose money. That is a challenge. And I say good for you, for David and for Marianne, who are trying desperately to get this mandate through. But understand, it's been killed 20 times already in the state of Massachusetts. And it's not for lack of trying, but finally, voices are being heard. Rational thought is being presented. Marianne and David have been extraordinary advocates for trying to get this pressed through. They're not asking for a brand new program. They're not asking for teachers to change the curriculum of what they're doing. They're asking teachers and our administrators to rethink word problems. Instead of asking yourself, well, if Johnny is walking to school one day and has a bucket of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in his lunchbox and he trips and falls and mud gets on four of them, how many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches can he eat today? And you know what the answer could be? None. Because mom might be worried that some of the mud got on the stuff that didn't even get dirty. You know, we can't even do those real math problems anymore. We have to start talking about stuff that's real. What about Johnny's trying to save for the junior prom? He wants to put $10 away every single week for the next 16 weeks. He knows he can make 1% interest at the bank over the course of a year. How much will Johnny have at the end of 26 weeks or whatever the weeks was that I just said? Now, that's a real life math problem. That's something that kids can use. But, oh, gosh, do we want to teach them real stuff? Do we want to educate our kids with problems that actually will impact their life rather than hypothetical situations? You know, my kids are into algebra and calculus and all this other stuff. And I'm looking at the, you know, X minus 3 divided by 4 with a sigma and a kappa and a zeta and an omega. And I don't even know what the hell those things are. Okay, apply it in real life. Give it to me in a word problem. Give it to me something that will apply and impact my life. How many times have your kids come home and said to you, you know, I'm learning about this stuff in geography, But what do I really care about some of this stuff? Teach me some things that are relevant. And some of the stuff that's relevant, today's relevancy, you know why they don't teach it? Because it's too politically tainted. And the books that come rolling out favor one side or the other, or the teacher or the landscape of the classroom have a certain bias one way or the other, and they can't have a thoughtful dialogue. The only way you can have a thoughtful dialogue is when you can't argue with what the history really was, because the history is the history and you can't go much further than that. That's not fair. That's not what has to happen. We need to give our kids relevant skills so that they understand when they're walking into, for instance, let's take Toys R Us, for instance. They're liquidating their shops right now, right? Every Toys R Us and every Babies R Us went on sale, or went for liquidation 2 weeks ago. And what amazed me last Friday when they opened their doors with their going out of business sale, the cars in front of Toys R Us were 10 times larger in the parking lot than were there the week before. Why? Because they saw a going out of business sale? Did you know, if you've read how liquidation sales work, the liquidators go back into Toys R Us. They remark every single toy in the store to their regular price. Everything gets pushed up to what the suggested retail price is, and then they say, oh, 30% off everything in the place. It was probably already 30% 2 weeks ago, but no one was buying it then. That does not make sense. We need to teach our kids to understand what sales really mean, what promotions really mean. But frankly, we as adults are just as much of a sucker. We fall for it. We get sucked in, and we need financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what I try to provide to you here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. It's a joy to be here to provide you that advice, but we also provide it on a very personalized basis to you, to your situation, to making sure that you're positioned properly with everything in your financial life so that you can make smart decisions, so that you can be a good parent for your children, so you can be a role model for your kids, so you can prepare for your future, your financial future, and live life to its fullest, and teach yourself, your kids, and everything else good skills, great skills all along the way. And we're here to help. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And I also want to tell you about one other thing. You know, I talk about it each and every Sunday as my free newsletter that comes out. It lands in your inbox every Friday at 10:30. We've been doing this since March of 2009. We're approaching our 500th electronic newsletter. I find that hard to believe. Yeah, we're going to be celebrating 50 years of financial planning and investment advice right here on the North Shore of Merrimack Valley. We're doing that on Tuesday. But our newsletter will continue. It has a long, long range of possibilities of what we can say through that communications piece. It's one page. It's financial advice in a language you can understand. It's got tidbits. And in fact, this week's newsletter will include some information about this House legislation, S2374. I think that's what David said it was. It's called the Enact Relative to Financial Literacy in Schools. It doesn't make any sense to me. I wish actually legislation actually had a title that was a little bit more impactful. I would be able to really support it a little bit more with some stuff behind it. But it is a powerful legislation that they are trying to pass through the state of Massachusetts, mandating the infusion of personal financial literacy into the curriculum of every student in Massachusetts. How can you say no to that? How can you say no? How can you not want your children to be educated about real life, real financial skills? If you want to see that happen, call your local legislature. Give my office a call and I'll forward you the white paper. I'll forward you the information on what needs to happen. But we need this to be mandated. We need our kids to be getting financial life skills in the classroom each and every day. It's just part of life. It's part of your life, and it's going to be part of their life. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, I got more thoughts to share with you, more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Do you ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. It's Mark Friedman here again, each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m., providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. We do that each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. right here in the palatial studios of North Shore 104.9 across from the, what is that, the Beverly Cross? I can never see that thing right because they pull the shades down. It's some T station. It's commuter rail. The Beverly something crossing station. Nobody's really out this morning. It's a Sunday morning, and looks like most people decided to stay in. Have you been enjoying the Red Sox? How about that? They kicked off opening season at Fenway this past Thursday, had a nice run on the road to open it all up, though the first game of the season didn't look too exciting. But how about those starters? We're playing pretty well. Great season ahead of us. Celtics are looking fabulous moving into the playoffs, and I think only the best is yet to come for them. Hopefully Kyrie is back. Hopefully Marcus Smart is back. Jaylen Brown gets his shooting together. I don't think we'll see Gordon Hayward this season, but he'll be back for next year as well. Bruins are looking good, and but what's going on in New England with the Patriots? I still think they're going to be fabulous. I think they will work it all out. I think there's a lot of media that wants us to believe a lot of different things. But, you know, you got to trust in Bill. He's been this, taken us this far. I also trust in Robert Kraft, too. I think he's done a pretty remarkable job. He's as much of an owner as he is a fan of this team, and I think we'll do just fine. But here we are this Sunday, another Sunday moving into the spring. Hopefully the snow will never come back again. It will, but not for a while, I hope. I just hope it's going to stay away. I want to thank once again David Florina, Marianne Clancy, who were in our studio earlier today to talk about a legislation that's trying to be passed through Beacon Hill on trying to get financial life skills infused into the curriculum of our students all around this country. It needs to happen. We need to do it. We need to ignore the lobbies, ignore the voices that say, well, we'll lose money on this deal if we do it. This is too important to every child, no matter what socioeconomic background they come from. Everybody needs financial life skills. Put it this way, and I know I'll get a little political here for a second, but even those that will never collect a paycheck and just take a government handout, they still are going to have to manage their own money. We all have to do it. We all need to know how to manage our finances. And if we can't teach that in our public schools, where are they going to get that great education? And what's also fascinating to me is the number of businesses, banks, financial institutions, insurance companies, real estate offices, automobile dealerships that are willing to step up and say, we will help. We will give some education to these kids. We want to partner with you. We want to collaborate. We need to make this happen. If you want to learn more about these Credit for Life programs that we talked about earlier today that are actually bringing all of these various business entities into a school setting to try to create a real life setting for these kids to say, hey, I want you to fast forward your life 5 to 7 years. You've just been assigned a job as a zookeeper making $42,000 a year. A zookeeper, I just kind of thought that might be kind of fun, a zookeeper. $42,000 a year. However, because you decided to go to a school that cost you $63,000 a year, you're getting paid $42,000, but you have $175,000 in student loans. Oh, and you wanted to move out? So you got to find an apartment and you need to buy a car. And you're going to realize how hard that really is. All of a sudden, these financial life skills become very real when the kids realize that they can't keep rushing to Starbucks every morning.
They can't keep asking mom and dad to hand them $20 or $40. They can't just pull stuff out of the ATM just for the fun of it. They can't have the nicest t-shirts and sneakers and a bike and a car. It's like, oh my God, I have to have a car that has a crank handle to get the window down? That's just, I can't. Mom, what would people think if I did that? Cloth seats? A cassette player? Are you kidding me? Guys, grow up. You know, when I was a kid, I remember drinking out of the garden hose. I remember stepping in poop in my own front yard, you know, because who picked up after their dogs back then, right? You spent time outside. You'd go out for as long as you could until mom yelled from the front stoop, yelling for you to come in. And you know what? If she couldn't find you, she figured, they'll get home eventually. Because she certainly couldn't call you because you didn't have a cell phone. We all seem to do just fine driving backwards in that station wagon, going to the drive-in movie theater, staying in a camper, sleeping outside. We did all fine. But God forbid our kids were ever to do something like that. But Daddy, I need my Lily Pulitzer dress, or I need my Coach purse, or I need my LeBron James hat or sneakers. Oh, my, sorry. Well, we're the suckers, folks, because we keep buying it. When your kids are off on their own and they have to do their own thing, they will learn that life is expensive. So, later on this afternoon, believe it or not, I'm going from this studio to Temple Tefereth Shalom. No, not to pray. I'm actually going there to speak to the Brotherhood. The Brotherhood of the members there, we are having a little personal finance meeting. We're going to talk about stuff. And I say stuff because as I sit here in the studio, I still haven't figured out what we're talking about from 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, whatever time I'm supposed to be there. But I understand there's going to be 15 to 25 eager sets of ears listening to what I have to say. So I'm going to, between now and the time I pull up to Temple Tefereth Shalom on Lowell Street in Peabody, I will come up with something, I promise. Promise all of you. And hey, if you're going to the event, and by the way, it's free, so hey, if you're in the neighborhood, you want to swing by, come join us, feel free to ask me some questions, because I'm really good at answering questions. My preparation is just like this radio show. It is improvised 100%. People oftentimes ask me, Mark, how long does it take you to prepare for the radio show? As those here, my producers, know, I basically walk in with a blank piece of paper and I go, we'll figure something out. So, yes, I've been vamping until I figured out what I'm actually going to talk about. But I do want to tell you this. Tuesday, we're going to celebrate our 50th anniversary at Friedman Financial. Hard to believe that we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, for all of those years. 5 decades. No, not me. Dad started this in 1968. I joined the firm in 1991. Dad retired in 2007, and many of you have met Marion Gilman, my business partner, who's joined me here several times on the radio and actually has done some solo shows. Marion joined us July of 2000. She picked a really good time to join the firm. If you remember back 1997, 98, 99, that was what's called the dot-com boom, where you could buy a sock puppet and make money. That was, remember the pets.com sock puppet? He was up there. There was a kid that was flying around owning islands because he bought, you know, xyztech.com, and he made fortunes. And then all of a sudden, right around July of 2000, when Marion joined the firm, it all crumbled down around us. And so Marion got a very first and quick introduction to dealing with panic. And fortunately, as much as we thought there might have been panic from our clients, there was just questions and wonderings. Because when you do financial planning the right way, there is no, oh my God, let's sell out and let's start all over. Let's run for the bunker. We don't do that. There's no need to do that. Financial planning is understanding where everything is in your financial life and what it's all worth, and then making recommendations when you know how it fits into the puzzle. So many people in the late 90s were just calling up little Granny Marie from Eastern Bank, who had had a CD there earning 9 and 10% for years, and all of a sudden realized that her CDs are now paying 4%, said, I need to do something better than that. Can I get me some of that Napster? Let me get some of that Napster stock. That should do me really well. Or how much that? What's that? There were so many of them out there. Oh, my God. So many companies that no longer exist. But Grammy had to have a piece, because you know why? Because the pizza place, the local dry cleaner, no longer was watching sports or soap operas. They were all on CNBC. Everybody had to watch it. Well, folks, we have learned at Friedman Financial after 50 years that that is not the way to manage your portfolio. It's not the way to manage your financial life. Your personal finances start with understanding the big picture. And as certified financial planners, which every planner at my office is, as certified financial planners, we must place your interests first. And in order to do that, we need to know where everything is and what everything is worth. You've got questions about planning for your retirement. You've got questions about... Someone actually sent me a note last week. I should mention this. He said to me, Mark, could you spend a little bit of time on helping listeners decide on whether they should take a lump sum or a pension option from their employer? Fair question. But I hate to tell you that the answer is, it depends. That's not what you want to hear. But on CNBC, they'll tell you, oh, you're a fool for taking the pension. You should just take the lump sum. No, that's not the right answer. There's a reason why there's multiple options for you. You have to take those multiple options and weave them into your overall financial situation. And if you don't have the ability to do that on your own, that's when you hire a financial planner. A financial planner is going to look at the big picture. They're going to help you make the most informed decision, not the decision that feels good today, but you'll regret 5 years down the road. Not the decision that your neighbor tells you that they made, so you should do exactly what they did. Not the one that necessarily pays you the most money today, because you'll forget if you take sometimes a pension option, that pension never goes up. It's the same amount of money forever. Then you're likely to be retired for 30 to 40 years. Think about this. You're going to live in retirement for as long as you've worked. That, my friends, is scary. You have to replace your paycheck with the money you've accumulated. Oh my goodness, how are you going to do that? It's not easy, but it can be done. And it can be done very, very effectively if you make smart decisions. That's what we do at Friedman Financial every single day. And we've been doing it, like I said, for 50 years as of Tuesday. So it's been 49 years, 363 days, I guess, we've been doing it. And we'll continue doing it for hopefully another 50 to 100 years more. If now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning, I'd encourage you to give our office a call. Now is a great time to do it. You get your taxes all settled in. You're starting to prepare for the next year. You want to be sure that you're positioned appropriately. Perhaps over this past year, you found yourself collecting a ton of 1099s. You're going, why do I need all these statements from this annuity company, from this investment company, from this insurance company, from this brokerage house, from this bank account? Oh my God, I got pay stubs. I had two different jobs. I sold my house. Maybe mom died, or I had to pay education costs for the kids. And it's just getting too much. Oh, and by the way, we also have a new tax law that just went into effect for 2018. Now may be the right time for you to sit down and talk with us. I want to meet with you. There is no cost or obligation. Believe it or not, as enthusiastic as I am on the radio, our conversations in my office are a lot more low-key. I actually sit and listen. I can do that. This is radio, folks. It's entertainment. But when we get to my office, it's real. It's your story. And we do our very best to make sure that your story continues to work for you. Give my office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or visit us on the web, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And finally, each and every Friday, we put out our newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. We're approaching our 500th weekly edition of Planning Pointers. It provides you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And if you'd like that, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Scroll to the bottom of any of the pages. Type in your email address, how you've heard about us, and if you want to throw on a comment, if you want to ask me a question, I will respond to them all. I promise that. I'll either respond via email, I'll respond on the radio, whatever is best. But I look forward to hearing from you, and I look forward to talking with you again next Sunday, when we will now be more than 50 years old. We'll be past the 50-year hurdle 50 years and moving on at Friedman Financial. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.